Comparisons between the Trump and Nixon administrations have been happening since the early days of 2017, when President Trump first entered the White House. There's a huge difference in the level of experience the two brought to the Oval Office, but some have argued that both men carried a similar disdain for the institutions of government. Nixon ultimately left the White House under the cloud of Watergate, when some of his fellow Republican elected officials let him know he no longer had much support and it was time for him to resign. Two of those officials were Arizona Senator Barry Goldwater and Arizona Congressman John Rhodes. So is there an appetite in the current GOP to tell President Trump something similar? With me to talk about that is Michael Kontswitz, assistant research scholar at New York University and author of They Said No to Nixon, Republicans Who Stood Up to the President's Abuses of Power. Michael, why does it seem like current members of the GOP are less inclined to criticize President Trump than the members of the GOP were back in the early 1970s to criticize Nixon?
There was a different type of culture that shaped maybe not the entire GOP, but large segments of the GOP. In the post-war period leading up to the 1970s and even into the 1980s, the Republican Party had a large moderate wing. And this moderate wing and its efforts to promote a more nonpartisan approach to not only politics, but also civil service, certainly influenced even the conservative wings of the GOP, even figures like Barry Goldwater, to take on a less combative approach when dealing with your political opponents. So in my book, I look at not only moments like the moment you described, where Barry Goldwater tells Richard Nixon, you know, the numbers aren't on your side, we're going to vote to impeach you, and you most likely will be convicted. I look at people who are resisting Nixon behind the scenes. These are figures, the most famous of which is most likely Elliot Richardson. He was Richard Nixon's attorney general who resigned in protest during the Saturday Night Massacre based on his refusal to fire the Watergate special prosecutor, Archibald Cox. Another figure is George Shultz, later on became more famous as President Reagan's Secretary of State. Behind the scenes, he was resisting Nixon's efforts to use his enemies list to initiate hundreds of audits on political enemies. George Shultz stood in the way of that attempted project, as did other Republicans.
Whether it's things related to the Pentagon Papers or all these things, was there a tendency to think that there were Republicans resisting him in private then, or did it take some of the revelations that came out of the hearings for that to happen?
So my research shows that there were Republicans who were recognizing the dangers that Nixon posed even before the rest of the nation caught up with them. So that was happening even before the Watergate burglary. It happened before the Watergate hearings in the summer of 1973. And it certainly happened, you know, years before Barry Goldwater, Hugh Scott, and Congressman Rhodes approached Richard Nixon in August of 1974. By focusing on these stories of Republicans who said no to Nixon, it frames Watergate in a slightly different way, where the resistance to Nixon was nonpartisan from almost the beginning, or at least at a much earlier stage than today's events.
I like the fact that you put that word in there, because I wanted to ask you whether you think that at that time that there was less partisanship and also at the same time more statesmanship.
I believe so. I don't want to romanticize 1960s and 70s. There was still plenty of partisanship. There was still, you know, a lot of ugly attacks on coming from both sides. There was still, you know, a vitriolic right wing in the 1960s and 70s that was loyal to Richard Nixon. Those figures were there. It took time for Nixon to resign. It took more than 2 years after the Watergate break-in. However, the fact that Republicans, enough Republicans, not all, some stuck with Richard Nixon to the very end, and there are still some who defend Richard Nixon. But the fact that some did, a large number of Republicans turned against Richard Nixon is connected to the fact that Republicans were doing the same behind the scenes. The fact that a large share of Republicans were not on board with Richard Nixon's, as I call it, his culture of loyalty, mm-hmm. offers up a interesting contrast to the Republicans of 2018.
Now, what about the differences? Even though Nixon obviously has many critics, he was, in many cases at least, in many senses of the word, a part of the establishment. He had been vice president for 8 years. He'd been elected to Congress. And now with President Trump, he actually was elected at least to some extent based on saying that he was going to tear down these institutions and reshape things and this sort of thing. So almost like the bull in the china shop. Do you think there's any difference there between if people were relating to Nixon in the 70s, his fellow Republicans, more of them were saying, okay, you're messing up the establishment and we didn't expect you to do that. Whereas in Trump's case, they almost kind of expected him to do it and they're not sure how to react to him.
I think that's a fair point. I think in some cases we knew what we were going to get with President Trump, and maybe Republicans knew what they were getting when he was elected 2 years ago. Richard Nixon is certainly a much more complicated figure. Richard Nixon and Donald Trump are not the same person. What connects the two are that they know how to rally the ugliest part of American politics. They know how to rally the base. They know how to disrupt our democratic institutions. And they both have demonstrated, while one did so in private and the other is doing it in a very public way, they both show a utter lack of respect for our democratic institutions.
Michael Kontswitz is an assistant research scholar at New York University. He's also the author of They Said No to Nixon, Republicans Who Stood Up to the President's Abuses of Power.